Don't you dare!
I'll be
try and take away
Christmas.
The mystique. Yeah, exactly. The mystique of Santa Claus. Who's if that's what your clause is going to be,
Phillip,
like, I can't lie to my kids.
Calm down, calm down. Oh, you're sweating.
Screw
you're all
you.
Upset. Listen.
My chest hurts.
Rolling.
I came here on a golden rocket.
You never listen to me.
Leaving on a magic carpet and now.
Divorce sucks.
It's what you do this time.
We don't like each other.
He doesn't like me. I like him.
I've been inside of your golden locket.
I'm Serge.
I'm Monica.
We were married for almost 9 years. We're divorced now.
We live four doors down from each other.
We have three kids.
You're not being very nice to me.
This is our story of divorce and life after divorce. Our ex-life.
Our ex-life.
You want a drink? I want a drink, too.
So, how are you? You are now officially 46.
Yep.
It is the day after your birthday.
Yep. I feel good, too, man.
You feel good?
Yeah, I didn't expect to wake up feeling so spry and alive. Could be all the coffee.
It's all the coffee.
But we're on the... trajectory into Christmas now, into the holidays.
It's your favorite time of year.
It is. It's also Hanukkah, I think, has officially begun.
Kwanzaa occurs at the end of the month as well.
Mm-hmm. And what else? What other holidays are there?
In December?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
What else do people celebrate?
I could Google it.
No, we don't need a Google.
We don't need a Google.
A live Google.
I always need a Google.
But, yeah, it is. This is my favorite time of the year. Christmas has always meant a lot to me, and I don't know why. I think it's because part of me is slightly insane, and I really like the kishy side of Christmas.
Yes.
I like the decorating. I like... the idea that there's a month of the year when people are happier and peace prevails, although I think it's utter bullshit. I think people are worse off.
By the way, there are also Muslim holidays that I don't know how to pronounce this month.
Why don't you try? That'll be good for a laugh.
Eid al-Adha is celebrated at the end of Ramadan.
Okay.
So there are many holidays that many cultures are celebrating this month.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, it's nice to have one month where we can all, or most of us anyway, collectively. And again, like, I don't consider myself.
Do you want me to be honest with you? And I know, I fucking hate December. And I know that that sounds all Scroogey and whatever, but I think maybe while we were married, your intensity and passion for Christmas caused mine to wane. Because it feels...
You gotta stop blaming me for all the shit in your head. No, seriously. Like, if you're gonna tell me that a man's love for Christmas time has caused you to not like Christmas...
Do you recall times where we would pull out our Christmas boxes to decorate for the holidays, and I would happily contribute with you and do my thing, and you would follow along behind me and take down everything I put up because I didn't do it right?
That's a different thing. That has nothing to do with my love for Christmas or anyone's.
And the
if
pressure,
you don't know how to decorate a house, that's not my fault.
The pressure to have this perfect Christmas, it's a fucking part-time, my mom's going to get mad because she actually texted me. Did I tell you that?
No.
And she told me to stop saying fuck so much.
Yeah, I think you should.
Why? It's part of who I am.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a family program. There's kids listening.
It's an explicitly rated family program.
Kids are the next divorcees, so they have to learn from us.
Anyway, to me, it's a part-time job. Like, I work full-time. I have three children, and now you want me to do this other part-time stuff? No.
Here's what I think.
What do you think?
I think that my love of Christmas was something that you actually really enjoyed. But because you are who you are, you also have to tack on to that joy a little friendly banter, a little friendly poking.
You think I secretly enjoy Christmas and I'm pretending?
Yes, I think that you loved the fact that I loved Christmas. I think I think I brought true Christmas into your heart,
into your life.
No, that's
not
true
at all. My mom is a fiend for Christmas, as you know.
Yeah, she is.
And so we had Christmases growing up. Like, my mom went all out. We were broke as all get out. We were on, in fact, here's a fun fact. We were on food stamps growing up, and my mom was a single mom who worked and whatever, but she happened to have a motorcycle. One Christmas, she sold her motorcycle so she could afford Christmas. Another Christmas.
God, that's like a really crazy movie.
Right? That's like a Lifetime movie starring my mom on her motorcycle.
Right.
Another Christmas
motorcycle.
She's going to hate that I'm going to tell this story, and I don't even know if you know it, and it's not a long story. But I'm going to tell it anyway because it shows what a hustler my mom was in a tipping my cap to her respectful kind of way. We had a house. We had an okay middle-class house growing up, but it was because my dad paid the mortgage in lieu of child support. So we had this house that, whatever. Anyway, she got us onto some program where a couple celebrates Christmas for families in need. But she didn't want the couple to come to our actual house because they would think that we weren't in need, when in reality we had no food and we were on food stamps. But because the house was paid for in that way, it looked like we had money, sort of.
Right.
Anyway, she had a friend of hers that lived in this shitty apartment. And I do remember one night her hustling all of us kids over to the shitty apartment and sort of prepping us with this story, like, okay, you need to pretend like this is our house and this is our Christmas tree. And then this young, like, couple from BYU in Provo came over to give our family in need gifts.
Yes.
And we collected them in our
yes.
car and then went home. Do you get what I'm saying?
And then they followed you back, like...
Like,
well,
this
you
poor
know what?
College couple.
Yeah. It's that really is the modern Christmas
no,
tale.
No, that's
there
mad
is.
Respect to my mom though.
Yeah, no doubt.
Don't be embarrassed, Mom. It was a good move. We needed it.
It's wonderful. You did it for your kids, you know.
She sold a motorcycle. She did all that stuff. No matter what, we always had a good Christmas. So my point is,
plus you guys probably all ended up with like BYU hoodies and shit like that. The worst gifts ever.
I was raised with great Christmases. So you didn't, like, instill my love of it. You stressed me out with your insane expectations of...
But I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean...
What I do love about you is... Well, I don't know if I love that about you anymore either, but...
Well, that's why we're divorced. You don't have to live with it anymore.
But, no, I do. What I'm saying is you amp that up for our kids, and I was going to say I do love that about you, that you're making Christmas magical for them.
Right.
But this other part of me... feels weird. Like, I've recently, this is a weird time to tell you this, but I have recently felt really weird about perpetuating Santa Claus and the consumerism of the holiday.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. I'm serious.
No. If you ruin that, you're done.
I'm not
okay?
going to. We're already on your Santa Claus trajectory.
No.
But
no,
they
no.
get way too much
That's
shit.
That's just what this world is. No, I'm down with the gifts thing. That's a whole separate thing.
What? So much? They get so much
But the
so
world doesn't
gifts.
Need people being like, you know, we got to tell the kids the truth and Santa Claus isn't real. It can't get the hell out of here.
But it's weird that we just create... It's like...
Too many people are losing their minds. I'm sorry.
No. The reason that it occurs...
If you need a cause, you go out there and you find your cause. You find your platform to stand on. But don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I'll be good.
Try and
take away Christmas.
The mystique. Yeah, exactly. The mystique of Santa Claus. Who's if that's what your cause is going to be,
Fella,
like, I can't
down.
Lie to my kids.
Calm down. Oh, you're sweating.
Screw
you're all
you.
Upset. Listen.
My chest hurts.
Sorry.
I need a moment.
The reason it occurred to me was I started to see parallels between... Oh, my God, you're a mess right now. I started to see parallels between religion and Santa Claus. Like God, where we lie about this mythical, omniscient person.
Who cares?
And then now we're, like, lying about this other guy.
But plenty of people believe in God, so who cares?
You don't think it's so weird to say to your kid, like, this strange old man is watching you from the North Pole, you little bastard?
No, I don't think that's weird
at all.
That's
sort of freaky when you, like, start to, like, deconstruct the myth of Santa Claus?
I think believing in things... that are happy and exciting and even maybe a little bit scary are beautiful. That's what
so
I think.
So you just described religion also, by the way.
Exactly. So it's beautiful. If that's what works for you, that's great. As a child, I think believing in Santa Claus, in fact, I just wrote a piece today about that. I really look back on that. And I think as that was one of the earliest things that introduced me to opening my mind to being creative. And I really feel like it has a lot to do with the fact that I ended up being in a band, being a songwriter.
You're in a band writing. Because Santa Claus?
Yeah, I think so. If my brother was here, he would argue the same thing. Oh. That was like the first step toward opening your imagination completely to think that, you know, it wasn't just a cartoon on TV or something. It was real, and yet you couldn't see it. You know, that's a beautiful thing. I'm sorry. It just is. Anyhow, we're talking a little bit too, right? We have to, about our Christmases, because we are two divorced, not just divorced, but I think at this point in time, we could say we are very divorced, like hardcore divorced.
As opposed to last year when we were semi-divorced?
Yeah, we've been just kind of easing along the divorce road, but I think we've come to the point
where hardcore divorced.
We're hardcore divorced, like divorce or die kind of thing, right? And so and at this point, it's like a Seriously Divorced Christmas. That's the name of our Lifetime movie.
Seriously Divorced Christmas.
You're right.
I think you just titled the episode, bro. It's supposed to snow tonight, you guys.
Yay, snowing!
Are you excited for the snow?
Yeah.
What does it mean when it snows?
Because it's Christmas Eve.
No, it's not Christmas Eve yet.
Keep falling down.
Are you excited for Christmas?
Yeah.
What are you most excited for, Charlie?
Getting presents.
You're excited for getting presents? What about giving presents? Are you excited to give presents?
No.
Everyone recalls different things, certain smells, the way the lights twinkled across your half-drunk eyeball. We remember random moments in lieu of big, fat, beautiful stretches of human glory. More and more, I'm beginning to forget the details of a lot of Christmases with Monica. I have memories, of course, but a lot of them have begun to slide away. Slowly at first, and then like an avalanche at the gates of hell, crashing down behind me into some deep, dark crevice, lost forever. The things I do recall are good, though, even if they weren't good at the time. Violet's second Christmas was a bad one. Not for Violet, we hid it well, but for us, for me and Monica. We were renting a nice place in Holiday outside of Salt Lake City. I always thought that was a funny name for a town that lives in this particular memory, Holiday. That Christmas Eve, we'd gone overboard with the gifts for our only child again, same as a lot of first-time parents do. Monica's dad had sent along a damn nice kitchen playset, but it needed to be assembled. And, well, it was over my head. I imagined that I could drink a couple of glasses of wine and get that thing together easy enough after Violet had finally fallen asleep. But come midnight, I was only doing battle with 1,000 pieces and instructions that had become blurred in my panic and disappointment. Eventually, my bitching was too much for Monica, and we clashed hard. Separate bedrooms. Fuck you. No, fuck you. Joy to the world. That night, I passed out alone, a million miles from joy to the world. We both did. But other memories shine on, and I welcome them for as long as they can stay. We covered Violet in all the wrapping paper during her first Christmas morning at the place we rented in Sugar House. She ignored all the presents she'd just opened and danced there beneath the shiny ripped paper Mom and Dad kept dropping down on her head. Over and over and over again, the dogs barking, our daughter giggling, the old Christmas music playing. I still hear it all like it just happened in the next room right now. It spans space and time and fills my head. I know I'm lucky to have that one. I'd lock it up to keep it safe if I could. But maybe I just did, though, huh? In Brooklyn, there must have been Christmases back before the kids. But I've got nothing. It's not that they didn't happen or weren't worth remembering, I'm sure. It can't be. And yet there's just a void. I get flashes of stuff, of decorating the apartment or whatever, but as soon as I approach, everything vaporizes. I don't remember much about the last Christmas before we separated either. I'm okay with that. She was pregnant with Charlie and my heart was shot in the face. Again, I know we had a Christmas and I'm pretty sure I remember where it was at, but the rest is hiding from me. Maybe that's a good thing, or maybe someday it will wander back to me and I'll be glad it did. Back in Utah, we bought our Christmas trees from people who came down from Montana. I dug that. I felt like that was something wild and free. For a guy from Philly to have a real-life Montana Christmas tree that might have been brushed by a grizzly or a wolf on some still black night back when it was younger and still rooted to the earth, that excited the hell out of me, and I played it up in my head. Of course it's stupid, I know that. But I'm stupid, you see, and that's how I rolled, with mind wolves and mind grizzlies in the middle of my Montana mind night. I remember buying those trees together, though. It was nice. We were nice. We were good. We were pretty excited about it when it came around, and it was only for 2 or 3 years, but the hard, fast flashbacks remain. It was down on 7th East near the golf course, if you're out that way. Maybe they're still there, those Montana trees. You never know. These past few Christmases, we've done the holiday together, separated and then divorced. We've tried to make it happen for the kids. I'm proud of that. Not because I'm pushing some kind of co-parenting extreme into your face either. Don't think that. There are times every year when it seems that we won't be able to pull it off anymore. Still, somehow we do.
Okay, here goes nothing. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is.
For Violet, who loves Godzilla and puppy dogs. For Henry with that sensitive heart of his.
I really love you, Dad.
For Charlie, who never stops talking these days.
Look, look, all the snow. It's almost Christmas.
He's always bugging me for a piece of candy like I'm some old lady with a china bowl stash of the good stuff. Like I have it tucked away back in the shadows of my musty museum of forgotten dark parlors. This time of year rolls around, and inevitably it's always Monica who pops the question. Usually it's on some late fall afternoon when I'm writing something in my kitchen. My phone will ping me out of the zone and I'll check the text, not expecting it to be the one. But it is. It's the one. What are we thinking about doing for Christmas this year? That's all I'll say. She throws it out there and it dangles up above my kitchen island like one of those YouTube videos of an elephant being helicoptered to safety. Before it crashes down hard, almost breaking my spine. Like all the wrapping paper floating down out of our fingers onto our daughter all those years ago, Monica's words float down out of the ping of notification. And now what? What can I tell her? Let's do it differently? You have the kids Christmas Eve and I'll come over in the morning? Let me have them Christmas Eve and I'll bring them down to you after they open their gifts here? I could, I guess. In her wide-open way, she leaves it up to me to tell her that the tradition is over. That I don't want to spend Christmas Eve together at my house anymore. That I don't want us to hang out and give them hot chocolate and set out the cookies and carrots and the big glass of milk, or chocolate milk like they insisted last year. And that I don't want us to be gathered under the same roof to watch the super cool vids that Santa sends each of our kids. The ones where he says their name out loud several times and there's photos of all of us, a family, not always together but still considered some kind of fucked up vital unit in the eyes of old Saint Nick. Yeah, I could tell her that I think it's a bad idea if she crashes in the spare bed with whichever kid or kid wants to crash with her until we all wake up before the sun is even an idea in the 25th sky so I can ramble down the steps and make sure that Santa came while she holds them back from the edge of the cliff until I peek back up and smile and they know that it's go time. She seems to be allowing me some sort of powerful call with all of this. She seems to be saying, hey, if you don't want this anymore, then why don't you just say it? But whatever. I know she's full of shit. Then again, maybe she's not. Sooner or later, it will all end. We'll take our separate holiday roads. Still, even these text messages asking me this yearly question have become part of our tradition now, you see? And she knows I want all 5 of us to be in on all of it. There's no other way. Not at this point. Not when the kids are this young and the magic is this real. Not when even any awkwardness we might sense or feel sitting there in such a strangely familiar but lost sensation is quite easily diluted with wine or beer. Or her sneaking out to the back porch and coming back in 5 minutes all skunky. She'll head straight for the cheese platter I've set out. Vegan my ass.
sidewalks, Billy sidewalks.
I want to remember everything, but I know I won't. So we need this one night and then the morning that comes with it. We all need it, for now at least. And so it goes.
Children laughing, people passing.
Merry Christmas.
Every year we sort of have some sort of like fight before the holidays where it comes down to like, are we doing them together or not? And then we always do them together.
Right. Yeah, no, it is true. And I don't know why. I guess the reason that we keep doing it together is our kids.
Of course.
Right. And that is, yeah, that's the obvious reason. Having those memories, the idea for us, I think from the get-go was always like, and even when we were in the midst of separating, and it was a really tumultuous, horrible time. I do recall like talking about the holidays at some point with you and both of us being like, you know, leaning toward the idea that we're going to figure out a way so that you don't miss the kids coming down the stairs on Christmas morning, you know?
Wasn't the first Christmas of our divorce the time we had mad good sex?
No, I don't remember that.
Yes, you do. Why? 2014. Oh, maybe not. No. I think you were dating some girl. 2014. Maybe it was 2015. Are you uncomfortable right now?
No, I wasn't dating anyone.
You were dating that hot girl from Brooklyn in 2014.
At Christmas time, I don't concentrate on dating, okay? My heart is committed to the season. I'm a Christmasologist. And
your heart is committed to the season.
Yeah, and I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, I don't. This is just something that it's a part of me, and I'm you know, open and I own it. But I feel proud of where we've come during the holidays. You know that we've been able to do this. Right?
You just said where we've come during
this
holidays.
Whole episode is a joke. We gotta take five here.
No, we don't. Stop it. All right. Where were you?
I want to cover some ground. I want to make something here that people can relate to as opposed to some kind
of
Abbott
and Costello.
Okay, well,
let's do that. Okay, most people... So what? Abbott and Costello?
Or whatever. Like the two pranksters. Like,
oh, you're trying to be serious and invoke the Christmas spirit right now.
I want to talk about divorced Christmas.
I'm bumming you out. All right, so, okay, well, let's start with most divorced couples... Either do that thing where, I don't know, I wonder what the statistics are. Do people share the holiday? Like, does one go over to the other's house and be there for Christmas morning? Or is it that thing where, like, one parent gets Thanksgiving one year and the other one gets Christmas and then they swap and they do it again?
I think there's some of both, but I think the majority of people do not spend any amount of time with their ex on Christmas Eve or Christmas.
They don't do it with their ex on Christmas?
No. No, I don't think they do. And if they do, I'm here to advise them, don't do that.
So it is a tribute to our relationship that we have managed to celebrate every Christmas together since the divorce. And we do it at your house. I didn't mean to do that one.
All right.
No, okay, stop.
You're losing me.
I'm trying to be serious. Okay, stop it. Here we go. I'm being serious. Where do you want to take this? I'm trying to...
I don't know. I really wanted to have this really special...
Magical.
Heartfelt, cool, edgy, 40-something, 21st century Christmas divorce podcast, and fucking it up.
Oh, my God. You just blew my mind. Do you know what this episode is a microcosm of? Our approach to Christmas.
Right.
Your expectation, and you want it magical and beautiful and amazing, and I just fuck it up for you because
I don't care. Because you're just simple Simon with the giggles and, like, you know. If you're not going to take it, if you're not going to take the holiday seriously, that's fine. But then just don't come over to my house.
If I'm not going to take the holiday seriously.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm going to stand up for myself here and say, I think I do a hell of a job with Christmas. And I think you do, too. I think we've been doing a really good job with three young kids. And every child deserves to have a good time at the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever they celebrate. I think a kid looks forward to that year round. They're off from school. It's a pretty special time.
It's a huge benchmark in childhood.
Yeah.
That it's like summer and Christmas.
Right.
Those are the two things.
And when you have young kids or even kids that are older, I think it comes back to you in a sense. Like you're able to relive it again. You know, like when I'm in my 20s and 30s, before we had kids, I kind of lost it a little bit. It wasn't as important,
sure.
You know?
No, that's the beauty of, and I will acknowledge, like, as much as I bitch about it, we have these moments when the tree's decorated and A Christmas Story is on TV and, or Sinatra record is spinning, where it's that cozy magic and the kids are rifling through the presents and shaking
them.
Right. And you're able to relive the magic as an adult. And that is a beautiful thing.
Right. And for maybe, you know, a stretch of 3 to 6 hours, the only stretch of the year, you got to try really hard, but you're able to turn your brain off, you know, for a little while and just chill out. And
this from the guy who, I should pull up your texts regarding Christmas shopping and your franticness about the holiday.
Well, you know, I am in a position where I want to get some shopping done. And again, I'm not an over shopper, you know. I enjoy it. I dig going out and being able to buy my kids a few things, you know.
We're so opposite. You're not an over shopper. You're a very intense, slow shopper. You will spend 20 minutes picking up and putting down stuff in the same aisle and contemplating it. And I wheel into the Target in one day and slam a bunch of things in a cart in an hour and I'm out.
Right. I don't know. I do think it's a... As victims of consumerism or whatever you want to say, I think there's a part of all of us that when you're out there shopping, again, it's one of those stretches where you're able to maybe shut your mind off a little bit, you know?
Well, here's what I like. I like giving gifts, not to kids, because kids, they don't give a shit. You see, you spend all this time trying to track down some toy and they open it and play with it for 2 minutes and they're done. It's awful.
Right.
And they're just sort of whipping through presents and open them and what's next? And they open socks from grandma and they toss them aside like assholes.
Right.
I like finding stuff for people that are important to me that I like trying to find that gift that means something to, like the book I gave you for your birthday. I know that you're reading a bunch of stuff like Moby Dick and these whale hunting books and that spoke to me to get to you. And I like that kind of stuff where you find the gift that is
perfect. That was a cool gift. It was, you know. It was not a harpoon. That's what I really wanted. I wanted my own harpoon. I thought that would be really cool for a guy that's into, like,
well, Christmas whaling. Is still coming, Serge. So I do like
you
that.
You better not
I,
get me a harpoon.
I'm not
you might
totally,
be sorry.
I'm not totally a Scrooge in that regard. I do like it, but it's intense and it's a lot to live up to. And I think a lot of people are very frantic and have too much to do during the holidays. And so it's sort of counterintuitive to what it's supposed to be. But whatever. That's what
come.
Do you do?
Come Christmas Eve this year,
we
will nonetheless.
We will be here.
Find ourselves probably in each other's company and in the company of our children, of our three kids.
Correct.
And a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, won't be able to do that.
True.
And many will probably be by themselves.
Can you imagine?
They alternate years and different holidays.
Right, can you imagine the heartbreak of, and it's something that we don't have to imagine, thank God, but can you imagine, I guess people just celebrate Christmas on a different day, but waking up on Christmas and not sharing that with your kids? But I guess other people just move their Christmas to another day.
Yeah, I think that, you know.
Two Christmases for kids.
One thing about divorced people is you get pretty creative, right? You have to figure out in order to, not really survive, because it's not necessarily a question of, but it is a mental survival.
You just create new and different traditions.
Right.
So kids get two Christmases or whatever it is. And
right.
That's a bonus for
right.
kids, I guess, you know?
I think so.
It extends the holiday season for them.
Right. But I've always thought, like, for our kids to be able to see us in the same room, I think that has a powerful effect on them.
Oh, man. You know, do you ever, like, it's interesting to see, like, Henry particularly, when you and I are together, he lights up.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, and it also, like, tears at my heart.
Yeah, it does.
That he lights up when we're together, and
right.
he just gets so happy and smiling.
Because I often wonder, who would he be, you know, if we had been able to make it work? Would he be You know, I don't know. There's not that there's anything wrong with him, but you just always wonder that. And I think that's part of divorced syndrome.
Going through difficult things gives people character, and that's the way that I choose to look at it.
Truth. Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. So
are you dreading spending the holiday with me? Are you stocking up on wine, or what's your strategy for dealing with me this holiday?
No, I don't think I'll drink around you. That's never a good idea.
Why?
Just because I just think it's a bad idea. Like, we end up arguing and fighting. Even
we don't always end up arguing or fighting. Sometimes we do other things. Like, it could go either way.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes we laugh and get along. And
in order to make it about the kids and stuff, I'm not dreading it. I sometimes feel like it's awkward.
You feel awkward around me?
A little bit at Christmas.
Why?
Just because it almost feels like the ghost of Christmas past is the only ghost hanging around. And you don't ever get even to the ghost of Christmas present, even though that is the ghost of Christmas present. And then the ghost of Christmas future or whatever, who the hell knows? Because he's just on pause. You know, we don't even let him come up onto the porch. But that's okay. You know, I feel like it's all right because at the end of the day, we're doing this for the right reasons, you know, and we suck it up, and it's not bad. It's fun. It's really fun. I love watching them be happy, and I know that you love watching them be happy. And we don't have that many times, not nearly as much as before, of being able to watch them be happy together, you know. Sitting there the other night watching Violet and Henry's Christmas pageant, it struck me, you know, that, oh, wow, this is really cool that we're all here and watching them do something together and watching them smile in the same room at the same exact moment. And it hit me that it's like, damn, that's not very often.
I had an experience at particularly Violet's Christmas show where you know how quirky and cool she is, and we both know her and her expressions so well. And you're the only person that I can watch her. And then you're the person that I want to turn to and exchange a look about her with. And that's another thing that people, when people are divorced and don't get along, they lose that experience of, I mean, I'm sure if people remarry and a step-parent gets to know a child really well.
Yeah.
But you're the person who has been with me from the beginning in raising these children, obviously.
Right.
And so you're the person that when I experience a parenting moment like that, I want to look to you so we can have that exchange of, oh my God. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's it. And you can only have that with one person.
The child's other parent.
Yeah, that's it. It can never be replicated. There can be incredible love.
You don't think step parents who are
there can be mad love. But it's just not exactly the same. You know, it can't be. And not that that has any effect. You know, it may have no effect at all.
I don't know. I think there are a lot of highly involved step parents who would beg to differ.
Oh man. I'm not arguing that, you know. I'm just saying.
I get your point is taken.
There's a natural thing,
right.
You know, that again, when you look at a child who's got your face, you know.
Maybe I think that a lot of people that have like parents that step in when the child is very young and all that kind of thing. I think it's the same thing.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. I can't say. I'm not speaking from experience. I have a stepdad and he loves me dearly. You know, I know that.
yes. No, I'm laughing because of the last episode where George was featured prominently. Anyway. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to spending the holiday with you.
Merry Christmas.
XMAS.
Well, hey there, handsome Santa. If you want to get close to me, we'll kick off your boots and let's have some hoots and dance by my Christmas tree. Listen up, Mr. Kringle, about a kiss before you go. Hey, you look so tired, but I'm real inspired, and Mrs. Claus don't have to know. Ooh, you look so cute in your big red suit, and Mrs. Claus don't have to know.
What is it?
What does Advent even mean? Advent?
It's a bell.
Wait, no. What is that?
It's a trumpet.
It's a chocolate trumpet.
I told you not to spoil it.
Do you even know what Advent means, Serge?
No, I don't.
Dad, I didn't open at 12.
You mean Mr. Christmas doesn't know what Advent means?
No, I don't.
You guys spend all this time with Advent calendars and you don't even know.
I know what Advent means.
What does Advent mean?
It's little cardboard doors that you open and there's a chocolate inside. Hi-yo!
I don't know what it means. I think I know.
Advent chocolate!
I think.
What does Advent mean, Henry?
This is what I think it means. I think it means like counting down.
Counting down?
Like.
Should we Google Advent and see what it means? Let's Google Advent together.
Dad, I didn't open the 12th. I don't think I opened it.
Yeah, you did, man.
No.
We opened it yesterday. I remember. Here it is. Let's see. 12.
Advent is a season observed in many Christian churches as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus at Christmas, as well as the return of Jesus at the second coming. You're all religious up in here with your...
For all the people out there, friendship, courtship, companionship, neighborship, sailorship around this whole week.
Okay, it's time for our culture vulture.
Which we haven't done in a long time.
Right. It's kind of cool. It makes it more special. I'm sure people are really feeling special right now that we're doing this. I got one.
All right. Okay. What do you got?
Well, so we're doing like a holiday sort of seasonal culture vulture, right?
Seasonal culture vulture.
Okay, so mine is... one of my favorite, and I love Christmas music. A lot of people, when people say they hate Christmas music, I automatically don't really want much to do with them. I see that more and more. I think it's become very hip and cool to say, oh, I hate Christmas music.
I feel like if you say you hate Christmas music, you're not listening to the right stuff. You're listening to some the Mariah Carey Christmas album or something.
Right. Or else you're just a Scrooge, and so.
All right.
You know.
So, all right. What are your top?
All right, so,
what would it not be Christmas without you listening to?
Okay.
What are your top Christmas albums?
There's a couple Christmas albums that I love. I love the Vince Guaraldi Peanuts Christmas album. I think it's an incredible piece of art. I love all Frank Sinatra's Christmas music. But one album that stands out that I have to listen to every single year. And I have it on vinyl, and it's like my second or third copy that I've bought in a few years because I wear it out, or somebody takes it from me and borrows it for their party and never returns it, is Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift for you.
Yeah.
Top. That is my all-time slice.
And the story behind the record is unbelievable. I don't know how old Phil Spector was at the time. He made it in the summer of 1963 in Los Angeles. Christmas albums are often made at a time of year that's not Christmas, which I think is also very cool. But in the summer of 1963, America was at this turning point that it would never, again, be the same. Of course, they had no idea, but JFK, John F. Kennedy, was about to be assassinated in November. Right prior to that, Phil Spector gets a gaggle of musicians and bands that he put together, vocal groups, and makes this record of about 10 or 11 Christmas songs.
Darling Love, the Ronettes.
Oh, Bobby Socks and the Blue Jeans.
Yes.
It's just a magnificent, it's just a magnificent magic piece of musical art that everyone should check out at least once.
A Christmas gift for you. Phil Spector. One that I listen to a lot is the Elvis Presley album.
Mm.
I'll have a blue.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. That Elvis has about 600 Christmas albums, but for the most part, there's a selection of songs that appear on the better ones.
Blue, blue, blue Christmas.
Elvis, he had a Christmas soul, man. That dude knew how to do Christmas. And Blue Christmas is one of the all-time great, his version of it, one of the all-time great Christmas songs. But if you seek out one of his Christmas albums, they're all really, really good. And some of them are better than others. But
okay, well, I am going to add another of my top Christmas albums. Your band, Marah, recorded a Christmas album in the summer of, like you said, it was in the, remember, sweaty Brooklyn summer days.
Yeah, it was one of the hottest summers on New York City Record. Yeah.
2006.
I don't remember.
I think it was 2006. I'm not sure. Anyway, you guys recorded it in a sweaty Brooklyn apartment. And you had me sing a song on it. I remember you guys trying to get me to sing a song, and I don't sing.
Mm-hmm. We're looking to reissue the album on vinyl pretty soon, and we're
going to
take your song off of
You're
it.
You're going to take mine
mm-hmm,
off?
Yep.
My pseudonym on that album is Zuzu Pedal. Zuzu's Pedal, Zuzu's Pedal. Anyway, the Marah Christmas album is called A Christmas Kind of Town, and it's so good. It's so fantastic. It has covers, and it has some original songs, and you sing Silver Bells on it. I love that version of Silver Bells.
No, thanks.
So we got Vince Guaraldi, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Phil Spector, your album.
That's really all you need.
What are we missing?
Oh, there's so many great ones. Come on, like Christmas music, it never ends. There's so many cool ones.
I love, because my mom played it growing up, Johnny Mathis. Mm-hmm. He had a Christmas album that is a good one. And I think that's my core Christmas album.
And the George Thorogood song, Rock and Roll Christmas. Seek that out.
Yeah? All right.
You big wanker hipster.
Who, me?
You've been listening to Our Ex-Life, a weekly podcast about divorce, co-parenting, marriage, love, life, wine, all that shit. Thanks for listening. Our podcast is produced and edited and magically put together by Monica Bilanco. Every neon sign is a friend of mine to greet you on your way.
It's a matter of fact, Jack, no matter where you're found. This episode featured music from Marah, Serge's band, their Christmas album, A Christmas Kind of Town, which you can find on iTunes or Amazon or most other places music is sold. New York is a
Christmas kind of town. Hope you and your family have a fantastic holiday season. No matter what you celebrate, where you are, who you are, what you're wearing, how drunk you are, how sad you are, or happy you are, how much you have spent and run up your credit cards. Peace on earth.
Do you like the Christmas lights?
Yeah. My favorite color is green and blue.
Green and blue?
Yeah.
Is it looking beautiful? Huh? Don't climb on them.
Just...
Charlie?
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la, to the seasons to be jolly, fa la 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 la.
That's all you know?
Yeah.